Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates, and that we're joined by Monica, who has been participating in actually both of the practice weekends that we've had so far at the monastery this year. It's actually a new practice offering that's on the schedule. It's for 2000. Doing them as much as we can, I think almost once every month, and that Monica has participated in the first two in January and February and is here to talk with us about her experience. So thanks for being with us.
Hey, Jen.
My pleasure. Yes.
Jen, can I interrupt just for a second? You were breaking up a little bit there. Heard most
of
it. Just want to let you know that.
Okay. Can I hang on there for a second till I find just the right spot and I'll stand stark still. tell me when you can hear me well. How about now?
Why don't you keep talking?
Okay. Now, how is it? It's raining. It's raining at the monastery, so that might be part of what's going on.
Okay. Now I can hear most of what you say, so I think we're okay to start.
Interrupt me again if you don't mind. It's too hard to understand.
Okay, I will do that.
Okay. So, at any rate, thanks for being with us, Monica.
My pleasure.
So, yeah, maybe you could just start us off by telling us about your experience of participating in these first two weekends that we've had at the monastery.
Okay, well, it's been really great. And I actually, the first time I came up for a Sunday program, I was thinking, wow, it'd be really great if I could stay the whole weekend or, you know, stay for a couple nights and then So then when I saw that there was these weekly opportunities, I was really excited because I'd already had the idea that that's what I wanted to do. So it was kind of perfect that way.
So in other words, you're local to the Bay Area. So it sounds like you came up one Sunday just to participate in the normal Sunday morning. We have a meditation and a group discussion. And that's a pretty long way to come for a couple of hours of practice.
Right.
So thinking, it would be great if I could stay for a couple of days.
Right. And, so it's pretty perfect. You know, like for me, the weekend starts when I get in my car and drive up there. And then the whole thing is pretty much concluded within 48 hours, and it feels like a week. And I don't know. I don't know where to start because it's just great, and I just feel so, like, grateful to have it so close and to be able to do that pretty easily.
Yeah. Well, you've already made several really fun points. One, I love that piece of the weekend starts when I get in my car. Because, you know, it really, that's so true, isn't it? That, you know, the practice can begin right there. You know, maybe you're listening to your recordings or turning off the radio or whatever you're doing, but that the weekend can start as you journey up. And
Right. Then
I love that point also that even though it's you know, relatively short, it's 48 hours, there is a way in which just really taking ourselves out of our everyday environment, and in this case, coming to the monastic setting, time kind of does funny things, doesn't it? It tends to expand.
Yeah.
And there's so much that can happen even in a weekend of practice.
Right. Yeah, and part of the reason that so much can happen is because anybody who's been to the monastery knows what I mean by this, but it's just such a fertile ground for practice, and going there is just a complete care for myself, and I just feel like everything is taken care of. So all the things that you just don't have to think about anything but practice. And it's like, what a gift to just be able to go, okay, I'm going to just get in my car and arrive at this place, and I'm going to have a bunch of really nice, loving people tend to my every need so that I can practice for 48 hours. It's just, yeah, beautiful that way.
That is that's well described. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, people who come on retreat, as you say, certainly know that experience. And those of us who get to spend any time at the monastery also know that experience of, I mean, what a privilege truly to have, you know, our day-to-day, the day-to-day details of our lives be set aside, and to be able to come to a place where, you know, as you say, all of our needs are taken care of, so we get to eat beautiful, organic, vegetarian food. We get to really focus on practice, get, you know, sitting meditation, and that each weekend has a particular practice focus to it. So
right.
So activity that's incorporated each time.
Yeah, so there's so much care that goes into the weekend, from the food to the environment to everything sort of being a certain way, and then to have a practice focus that's offered in a very, like, it's almost subtle. It's not intense, like,
yeah.
It's not intensive in a way, like the retreats,
yeah.
But there's this
yeah.
offering that just has been really rich for me each time. But
yeah.
it's not, I don't know the words, but it's kind of like, you know, try this if you want, but it's
uh-huh.
not as structured, I guess, as a normal retreat, but yet it's still really a lot to practice with.
Yeah, it sounds almost like it leaves you the space to get to have your own experience of whatever that practice
right.
focus is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. One of the things. Yeah. Go ahead. Was there more about that?
I mean, there's more about everything. Well, I was going to say is I, what the first time I came to the monastery, I loved it so much because it reminded me of this Quaker camp that I used to go to when I was a kid, and
uh-huh.
so for me, there's just like this immediate joy as soon as I arrive because there's just. You know, we had the meals and the bells, and it was sort of in the woods, and we'd walk to the path to get to the next activity, and there's just something about it that reminds me of that, so that mm. there's just a lot of support, but also a lot of freedom, I guess, about back to that point of just having space to kind of make it your own retreat, but having a lot of guidance and support also.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a really a great point also. It reminds me of, as you say that, I just pictured it as a mini your practice retreat. So we have that retreat coming up on the schedule. I think it's next month. And that's a retreat where everyone comes in and there are structures to it and there's a lot of support and sort of that same theme to it that you're talking about where, you know, there are all these structures to the retreat, and yet each person kind of brings whatever they're looking at. And I think you're right that the practice weekends really have that same feel to them that, you know, people can be wherever they are in practice looking at whatever content they're looking at, maybe a bit like the email class that we're in right now. And yet mm-hmm. together as a Sangha, we walk through the weekend or the email class or the week or whatever it is, but each of us really having the space to be wherever we are exploring whatever we're exploring in our own practice.
Right. And yet everybody's experience, it's still really helpful to hear. Everybody might be having a different experience,
yep.
and yet it's all really supporting what my practice focus is.
Exactly. It's the place where everyone speaks in group and you think, huh, did they all talk ahead? But they're going to say for me? Because it seems like it's all for me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing, I wanted to say a couple of the things is,
right.
you know, I've been to the monastery and there's been the drought, and each time I went, it was really hot, even when I went in October. So to be able to go back in different months and different seasons and to see almost like a different, just to see the life,
yeah.
cycle and the changes that are happening in that kind of short cyclical way, it's just been really magical also.
I love that. I know people who say California doesn't have seasons are not paying attention, are they?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, in fact, I will say that I hope you come back soon because I was looking at that garden, which we had such a beautiful focus on in that last weekend, and it looks completely different than it did even 2 weeks ago. The poppies are suddenly coming out all more. There's like a dozen more every day. So I just love
yeah.
that point of how quickly it changes when we pay attention.
Yeah.
It's amazing what life is
yeah.
doing all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm planning to come on March, and then I got a tweet today reminding me of it, and so I'm already really excited to be there in a couple weeks.
Perfect, perfect. And you said there was one other thing, I think, that you wanted to mention?
Oh, well, just back to the care, you know, I think for me, like, it's part of my practice has been this, like, what is caring for myself, and just having this environment where there's just so many examples of care and just like the little flower in the vase and the, like, just there's so many little details that when you are paying attention, or when I do pay attention, I can just see the love and the and the care. And anyway, I work on my own garden at home, and I'm new at it, and then I haven't done this yet for some reason. And I just had a garden for 2 years, but I cut flowers and put them in my house, and it was like something I learned to do for myself from being there and seeing the little vases. I don't know, it's just really fun.
Oh, that's beautiful. And you know what strikes me as you say that is what a pleasure it is to provide it and to receive it. And then the gift comes right back when the person who's receiving it notices it and is grateful for it. You know, it just keeps looping back on itself. Yeah. Oh, that's so beautiful. You know, in the last piece, I was just thinking when you were talking about how it's so individualized, is that there's also an opportunity to have guidance, either with Sherry or Ashwini, so that each person gets to check in one-on-one. You know, and again, really look at whatever they're seeing in their own practice. And I think that really adds such a richness to the weekend as well.
Yeah, that's a excellent part of it, for sure.
Yep.
And such a gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, such a gift. Well, speaking of gifts, Monica, thanks for being with us this afternoon to talk about it.
My pleasure.
Okay. Anything else you want to add in before we close?
No, see you next month, or this month, actually.
exactly, this month. All right, and everyone else, come join us. All right, take good care. Thanks, Monica.
You too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, thank you, Jen, and thank you, Monica. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
I'm great. Having a lovely, lovely time.
Wonderful.
And yourself?
Wonderful. I'm doing great, too. It's a beautiful life.
It is a beautiful life, isn't it? And listening to Monica talk about being there, I think that this is one of the best things that we have. Well, let's see. It's one of the best things that has happened to me in practice in a long time, these weekends. I just love being there with people in that way. It's so fun. Like on Sundays or on Tuesdays or Thursdays, you know, we have people come to the monastery and participate in what's going on there. But on these weekends, to just have the place so full of activity, like this last one, I think it was the last one, or the one that Monica was just talking about, we had people in the garden. We had people in the meditation hall, and I had the pleasure of sitting out under the oak tree in what would be our front yard doing guidance with people, and it just felt so monastery. It felt like monasteries for as long as there have been monasteries, that kind of activity and people doing all these different practices together and supporting one another in practice. It was just beautiful. So I do hope that lots and lots and lots of people will take advantage of this, because if people haven't been to the monastery before, they can come to these weekends. So it's it's really it's just great. It's great for everybody. It's wonderful, as Janet's kind of indicating, or maybe I'm just reading all of this into it because I know how the people there feel, but, you know, there they are tending that place day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and when people come to enjoy it and appreciate it and love it the way they do, it just, it's such a boost to practice. Just, it's a very special kind of thing to be Sangha together in that environment. I guess because it is the mothership. You know, we can be on retreat in other places, and it's always wonderful to be with Sangha. It is. It's always wonderful. But there's something about being there at our spiritual home that gives it just an extra little oomph.
And as you were talking about a couple of weeks ago, the value of being together in person, in addition to all these great virtual opportunities we have.
Yes. There's just really nothing like it. There's nothing like it. And so I thank you for that, Michael. My nag for this year is going to be get thee to a retreat. You know, sign up for those retreats and just overcome the voices and get there, because we all need Sangha.
Yes.
We do.
Yes, we do.
We just do.
Yes, we do. Yes. Mm-hmm. I think it was Kate who was calling in last week talking about how much she had benefited from listening to the archives of Open Air and then wanting to contribute in the same way. And that's the sense I get from what you're talking about.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Showing up for one another. It's really, really important. Showing up for one another. So many people have conditioning that tells them they don't belong. If everybody else belongs, but you don't belong. You don't belong here. You don't belong in this. And when we show up, we have proof that the voices cannot argue with, that in fact we do belong. And as soon as we, you know, we kind of stake our claim, this is my practice, this is my monastery, this is my spiritual home, then sure enough, it is. And nobody can take that away from us. And nobody wants to, but nobody can. The only thing that would want to, of course, the voices in our heads. And as soon as we have our own experience of being a part of practice that way, then we know that they're just lying.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Yeah, it is.
Grand and glorious thing indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And I have announcements here.
All right.
Reflective Listening Buddies is a powerful support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up weekly to practice being present. And a new quarter begins April 15th.
April 15th. So, what a good day that is. It's a good day to take your mind off of more unpleasant things in society and get your mind on something uplifting and supportive.
Yes, and for our international participants, that would be tax day here in the U.S.
That's right. Thank you for that.
With the reflective listening call. And, as Monica and Jen were just talking about, the practice weekend, March 18th through 20th, at the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murphy's, California, will use yoga scriptures to focus on relationships.
Yeah,
and the weekend includes guidance. Yes, very fun. And the weekend includes guidance, group discussion, and great food.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The Letting Go, Letting Life Practice Intensive, beginning March 28th, provides support for deepening awareness and practicing recording and listening. This intensive is part of the year-long retreat, but anyone who did not sign up for the year-long retreat may still register a la carte.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to join us.
Yes, I think the title says it all there. Letting go,
right.
Letting life. And you'll want to mark your calendars for the Jataka Tales Retreat, May 2nd through 7th in North Carolina. The Jataka Tales are ancient wisdom stories that follow the many incarnations of the Buddha. This retreat with Sherry Ann Ashwini includes workshops, yoga, meditation, delicious meals, and guidance with you, Sherry.
Yes. And of course, I hope anybody listening to that knows that those tales are simply a jumping-off point, right? We are going to make the many incarnations of the Buddha extremely relevant to our own lives today.
Oh, wonderful. Great,
mm-hmm.
Great. As our practice always seems to do. So that's wonderful.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Yes. And a reminder that we are on Bamboozle number 2, which is duality, and we're on the week 3 assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And for all of those opportunities and others, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, press *6 and then 1. That's how you will make a show. And 5 minutes and 1 topic are really helpful. I think we are ready here, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Estella from New Jersey.
Well, hello. What's going on with you this lovely evening?
Oh, Sherry, I'm terrified. This is my first time calling.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Nothing to be afraid of. You can just, you want to take just a minute and breathe a few times and see if your heart rate will drop down so it doesn't feel you're going to have a heart attack?
I was thinking that if I got on tonight and if I got on first, it would be ideal because it's kind of like in grade school when you have to give a report, and if you're waiting, you're not paying attention to everybody else. You know?
Yes,
so I thought,
yes. And, you know, I was always fascinated by people who could do that, who wanted to sit there and wait and be the last person. How do they stand it? The anxiety is just a killer.
It is a killer.
But I think you're right. They're just not listening to anybody else, so maybe they're able not even to be there. Who knows?
So now I can be present for the rest of the program after this.
Good.
And I really appreciated what you all were saying about that feeling of I don't belong, because that's exactly what I was experiencing as I was waiting just now, that feeling of I don't belong, or I'm going to say the wrong thing and they're going to kick me out.
Yeah, just hang up now. Hang up now before they have a chance to reject you. Yeah,
exactly.
Awful, isn't it?
Well, Sherry, I would really love to say thank you to you for all of your work. I came across the podcast, the open air, a year and a half ago. It's been, I guess, now. And at the time, I was in a very dark place, and the change to my life has just been so dramatic, and I'm just really grateful.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I am glad to hear that. And I'm glad that now you're right here on the air with all of us. Joining in. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge, right? From a dark place to here you are.
It's been
extraordinary.
This is a good step. I've been working with a coach for about a year now, I think it's been, and he was encouraging me, of course, to call, and my schedule wouldn't allow it previously, but the last couple months, my schedule cleared up, so I was like, okay, I'm going to do it.
Oh, I have no excuse. No more excuse. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. That's great. And then it's not bad, is it?
It's not bad, but still in this moment, I'm not sure what to say.
Well, anything, I mean, if that's it, that's good, that's plenty, as long as you promise that you'll keep in touch with us. But if there's anything about practice that is going on with you now, or you know, with
Sherry,
in your life?
I would love to ask you, since I'm getting the pleasure of talking to you. I've heard you mention a few times about your experience with moods and bipolar when you were younger, and that's something I myself have experienced and been diagnosed with as a teenager, and now I'm in my late 30s. And definitely the things practice has taught me to handle my moods a lot better. But just recently, mm-hmm. I kind of feel that flare up of energy that comes sometimes. And I was hoping you might be able to speak a little more about how you learned to kind of manage that energy, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And so when you say flare up, what does that, what do you mean by that?
Well, it's interesting because when I get really... when I really pay attention to physical sensations, I have a lot of what I have labeled as anxiety, where it's like a tightening mm-hmm. in the throat, or kind of what I'm experiencing now on the call, you know, that tightening in the mm-hmm. throat and chest, that kind
heart
of thing. And when it's when it's anxiety, actually, then there's a lot of fear. I feel this fear that comes with it. But when I start mm-hmm. to get what I think the doctors have labeled as more of a manic, it's almost more of a confidence and agitation that comes with it instead of fear, if that makes mm-hmm. sense, like an overconfidence, kind of along with as if I'm feeling like I drink like 8 cups of coffee, along with
right.
that kind of
right.
feeling.
Yes.
And it's been
yes.
a lot calmer
and you, and
since I've been doing. Oh, go ahead, please.
No, well, no, that's fine. I was just, I think you kind of answered it. If has it ever crossed that line where you get on a plane to Las Vegas because you just know you can,
been a long time. Yeah, but there have been those kinds of things in my life.
I have done some crazy stuff. Yeah. Well, one of the things that, so as I'm fond of pointing out, I come from a long line of depressed people. And what is now called bipolar people. They weren't, mm-hmm. we weren't called that. You know, that's a new thing. So we, in fact, when I was growing up, as far as I know, depression was not a thing in society. It wasn't, uh-huh. it wasn't known, it wasn't talked about, it wasn't, you know, none of that, so that's that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't have any labels. In fact, it was way into awareness practice before I realized that the things that went on in my family had labels.
Uh-huh,
you know, my aunt kidded about having lost the same 100 pounds, you know, every few years of her entire life. There was alcohol, there was, you know, just all kinds of behaviors that go with depression and hereditary depression and that sort of thing. But I didn't know. I just, you know, it was just my family, right?
Right.
And so when I came to the monastery where I practiced, my teacher did a few things with me that helped me get distance on the on what was going on. It helped me, which is, you know, what we all do in practice, right? But it helped me step back and see my life from the outside, rather than being uh-huh. caught in it and believing whatever was going on. And it was when I was in the monastery that I discovered the relationship between movement and depression.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And that's the primary way that I handled depression until my awareness practice deepened as it has, and meditation practice, and also until recording and listening came along. And
which
so,
has been so helpful, recording and listening.
Oh, my God, isn't it? So what I discovered, and I really think, just between us kids, I think I really did discover this, okay? Because it uh-huh. didn't come into society for a long time after the Depression book came out. But anyway, it doesn't matter where it came from. But what I watched is that I would be going along and I would feel that energy building, as you describe, and it's building mm-hmm. and it's building and it's building. Now, see, there was no anxiety label then. We uh-huh. didn't call it anxiety, right? But I was just you know, now I would say I was just hyperactive or something. You know, the energy is building and building and building. And then I would watch it, and it would implode. The energy would get so high, and then it would just collapse in on itself, and I would fall into a depression. And so I began to realize that if I kept that energy, the manic energy, down and manageable, it never got to that implode stage, and I didn't fall into depression. When that happened, I, you know, realizing that, I encourage people to exercise. You know, if you're depressed, get up and move. If you feel that energy building like that, start doing something that gives the energy to you instead of feeding that mental system and building and building and building through self-hate and that sort of. See, none of this existed then, so there was no language. Right. So I didn't know about self-hate. I didn't know about the voices in your head, you know. But using the exercise, and so in the monastery, we worked really hard all day long. And I realized that I felt calm. So well, making those connections.
And you know, the doctors these days all say to do it. It's just a matter of making it the priority, right?
They say that you should exercise.
The doctors I've been to deal with mental health issues have always prescribed that as the number one thing to do. So you're right. They've caught on to your idea, Sherry.
Yes, I know. I know those little devils, which is great. And I wish they caught on to that ahead of drugs. Because so much of what happens when we take medications for those conditions is we don't feel like exercising. You know, you may not be experiencing all that manic energy, but you don't feel like doing very much of anything else either. So for me, it's prioritize. It mean for me, it's a matter of life and death. It just is. I have to be active. I just do, and so. So I do that.
Okay, good. So
it's
something
not a
I'll,
choice.
Yeah, definitely. But I'll make more. We live right outside of Manhattan and don't have a car, so I walk a ton as it is. But I have a 5-year-old daughter. In the past 5 years, my focused exercise has definitely dropped off. And that's actually, you know, when a lot of my agitation started to get worse before I found practice. But it sounds like it's time to get back into more getting that energy out physically.
Right. But, you know, walking is great. Walking
is great. It does feel great.
It's plenty. Yes, it's plenty. And especially if you do it with focus. You know, if you're paying attention to your body as you're doing it, and you're taking that energy that's being generated and used, and you're using it to feed conscious, compassionate awareness. So it's a perfect combination to listen to recordings while you're walking along.
Walking. Sherry, how would I pay attention to my body exactly? How would I put that focus?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So breathing is the first thing, right? Being attentive to your breath. But what you want to do is be attentive. It's so thrilling. To have awareness expand to the point that you are aware of your entire body at once. And then attention is moving. Like when you're doing sitting meditation, the awareness is aware of the whole body, and then attention stays with the breath.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to.
So
you're
feeling.
Right? I'll have to try.
Oh,
this.
Yeah. You're feeling how your feet are touching the ground. Okay. And and where your knees are relative to your ankles at any given point. And what's going on with your hip flexors. Okay. And what's happening with your core. And where are your shoulders? And is your head forward or is your head up above your, you know, so. It just exactly as if you were doing sitting practice, your conscious awareness that you bring to your sitting posture,
you bring to your body all the time. Mm-hmm. And you learn to be with your body in that way as you're moving.
Okay. Okay. Oh, this is exciting.
Oh, it's thrilling, isn't it? And so sometimes when you walk with a little person, it's like walking a dog. Sorry, but they tend to dawdle. You know, they get into stuff. But to make sure that you have time, and if you're noticing the energy fluctuations, see if you can do it two or three times a day. You know, even
Absolutely,
if it's for 15 minutes. And you're just going out there with the conscious intention to take that energy for yourself and make use of it for your body and your own well-being.
Okay. Okay.
That's great.
Thank you so much, Sherry. That's amazingly helpful. I'm going to definitely give that a try.
Well, good. And now that you know where we are, keep in touch, huh?
Absolutely, and I had made it my New Year's resolution to get to a retreat this summer. So hopefully I'll be meeting you in not too long.
Good. Yeah, that'd be great. North Carolina might fit your schedule.
I think it actually does because that's the beginning of July, right? It's that one. That's the one I'm waiting for you guys to put the registration.
I think it's in June.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it's the end of June. I'll check. But whichever one is that, end of June or early July, I'll be there. So.
All right. Excellent.
All right.
We're gonna
Thank
hold
you so
to
much,
it.
Sherry. Thanks for everything.
Thank you.
All right, take it care.
Uh-huh. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Estella. Great to hear from new friends, Sherry.
It is.
Yes.
It is.
Yes. And right now, Sherry, we're going to hear from our coaching program, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
The practice theme for this year is Anjali, emptying your teacup. As the Zen story teaches, when we're full of ego's preferences, opinions, likes and dislikes, there is no room for the guidance and clarity of awareness. Through weekly coaching, regular commitments, and the practice of recording and listening, we train to empty our teacup and be open to life. Zen awareness coaches are trained by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching about life issues and awareness practice in general. We hear from new folks and old-timers alike that awareness coaching provides the support they need to deepen their practice. And since coaches donate a percentage of their fees, getting a coach assists in supporting practice. To request a Zen Awareness Coach, go to livingcompassion.org, click on the pink lotus, then Programs to find Zen Awareness Coaches. Make 2016 the year of emptying your teacup and having the life your heart desires.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Sherry.
Oh, very good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Zoe from New Jersey.
Hey, how are you?
Well,
long time no talk to.
I know. That's part of the reason why I wanted to call. Because I was, the whole belonging theme, I was believing that I didn't deserve to call because, I know, and I don't want to call with not good news because I love hearing the good news from everybody. And I've also really enjoyed hearing from people who are suffering and just, like, feeling really enjoying when they call in as well because I can relate and then I can take on the assignments and, you know, the things that they end up looking at is really, really helpful. So, you know, that's where one
here's what we can say. You got bamboozled for a little while into believing voices that say, you can't call in because of XYZ.
Yeah, and then, I mean, that's like the smaller manifestation of a larger process of living in that story of I don't belong because I'm not doing it right because I don't follow the six, you know, because of everything. I mean, you know, and it's the same story that's been going on for years, and it's just easier to believe now because it's you know, it's easier to believe because it seems more true, because I feel like I have, you know, been believing it. You know, it's a self-perpetuating cycle. I've seen it over and over again, and I keep, you know, I pop out, like, every, like, for these little micro times, and then I kind of just go right back under again. And that's what it seems like anyway. So I hate calling. And I the last time I popped out, I was like, I need to call because I have good news. I hate calling with bad news. I don't like it. You know, I want to call and say how great everything is going. And I just, but then it's keeping me from calling at all. So I'm
that's
like,
right.
No,
that's right.
I got it.
And the thing is, no. calling is good news.
Yeah.
Right. If you're in some kind of a pit, and you pick up the phone and you call in, that's good news.
Yeah.
Mhm. So I'm doing an email class right now, right? And when people are doing constant practice, when they're really in touch with practice, then they pop out often, right?
Mm-hmm.
We do. You know, we have lots more moments of, ooh, I'm here, the lights are on, okay? And what, you know, without trying to be a wet blanket, or without being a wet blanket, I'm never trying to be, but I sometimes can manage, I want people to look at, yeah, but what's going to happen when you're not in the light room? What's going to happen when you get pulled back into the pit? What's your plan?
Right.
Because you are going to get pulled back into the pit. There's just no question about it. Because, as you know, that's one of the ways it catches us, right? Oh, thank God, that's over. You know, we were just talking about depression. Oh, my God, thank God. Oh, my God. You know, I'm so grateful. I'm not depressed anymore. And there's this feeling of, that's behind me. Thank God that's behind me. Well, no, it's not behind me. I'm just not feeling that way right now. I'm going to feel that way again before long. So, how am I going to keep conscious awareness, presence available so that when I am in that pit again, I can pick up the phone. I can say what's going on. I can get some help and support for myself. We got to have a plan.
Yeah, I guess for me it's like, can I manage to not suffer long enough to, I don't know. I feel like it's the other way around of like just kind of I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's
well, here's a possible plan. Okay? Every time you pop up, you reach out. Every time you're in the pit and it occurs to you that you could use some assistance and support, you reach out. If you keep a calendar, you know, you can write on the calendar once a month, call into open air or sign up for a retreat. Or, you know, whatever it is, so that at least you encounter it. Now, the voices, you know, of course, will jump in and start screaming, no, you can't do that for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But it's keeping it somewhere close to the front of your conscious awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be a help.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you have somebody in your life who would be willing to do it, you can ask them to encourage you. You know, put it on your calendar. Ask them to put it on their calendar to say to you with some regularity, now, how are you doing with your awareness practice?
Yeah.
Anything that just puts it in front of our eyes.
Yeah.
Right? And that will expand as you keep doing that more and more often. It will occur to you more and more often. It'll there'll be a little space and it'll drop in. Reach out, make contact with Sangha. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Sherry.
You are always welcome.
Thank you.
Don't forget that. Write that on your calendar.
I will.
Sherry said so. And she doesn't lie.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will.
All right. Take good care of you.
You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Zoe. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Barbara in Australia.
Hi.
Hello, Barbara. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing pretty well. Yeah. I always get a fright when I hear that you can now run muted. My heart's racing a bit.
Yeah, and you know it's too late to hang up, right?
I know.
You've been caught.
I was in a duality conversation about whether to ring in today, and so I tossed a coin. And
good for you.
It was heads, so here I am.
Good for you. Good
yeah.
for you. None of those conversations, huh? We always carry
yeah.
a coin in our pocket. When it starts in, just flip that coin, and that's the end of the discussion. Love
it. Yeah, it was interesting because I noticed I felt clear last night. I thought, oh, I'm going to call in tomorrow. That would be good. I've got something I want to ask about. And then this morning it was like, oh, no, maybe I should, you know. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what did you want to talk about?
Well, I wanted some guidance around in the last few months I've sort of developed another physical opportunity, you might say. It's
mm-hmm.
something that's kind of been around low grade for quite a while, and I noticed towards the end of last year it was worsening. It's a pain thing. But in the last few months it's become quite acute at times, sort of episodic, but when it's really switched on, it's very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having, so it's really been challenging me on a number of levels. There's a lot of conditioned
yeah.
mind wants to say a lot about, oh my God, not another thing.
Right. Here we go again.
But, yeah, here we go again. But the thing I wanted to ask about really is around my meditation practice, because I've found I've been very challenged with it's my neck, my upper neck, and it goes up into my jaw and my mouth, and so it gets triggered by a whole range of different things, and sitting in meditation posture seems to often, not all the time, but can often trigger it off.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been experimenting with, and I can't also lie on my back at all with it. Can't have
you cannot?
No, I can't have pressure on the back of my head.
Uh-huh.
So I've been kind of experimenting with trying to find a position that I can lie in for anything, but also that I could meditate in that isn't aggravating. But aside from that, even, you know, there have been times when I've felt like when I sit, it feels like the pain's worse.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably it's just that I'm not being distracted from it by being distracted by other things, and I'm just, when I sit down and I, you know, suddenly the sensations, I'm aware of them. So I sort of, yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to ask about. Like, I'm still not sure whether sometimes sitting does aggravate it, makes it worse, or whether I don't know.
Right.
I'm not sure.
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay. Me either. Okay. I'm not either, but I'm right with you.
Okay.
And the thing that I would really want to underscore is your spirit of inquiry. Okay. Rather than, you know, what we're conditioned to do is
first of all, take a pill so the pain goes away. And then if you can't sit in meditation comfortably, well, then that means that you can't sit. And then that, of course, means no meditation, right? And so what you're doing is seeing if you can see what it is that's going on. So I'm in great sympathy because at one point, a while, not that far in the past, I developed what was a very similar situation. And every time I would sit down to meditate, a pain would start under my left shoulder blade, and it would crawl up under my shoulder blade, up through my neck, and right under the back of my skull. And it was just, you know, throw up, pee your pants kind of pain. And so you know the one. And so, you know, for me, not sitting is not an option. And so what to do? And thank God for the spirit of inquiry, because I began doing exactly what you're doing, which is, what the heck? Is it something about the sitting posture that exacerbates this, or is it always there at some level, and because I'm moving all the time, I can get away from it? But when I hold still, then it's there, and the pain is much more acute. Now, in my case, I found out that it was actually my hip that was off, and it went all the way down. It's a combination of the psoas, where the psoas inserts and the quads, you know, pulling up into my hip, and then all the way up through my back and into the back of my skull. So the process of getting to the bottom of that was immensely informative. Oh, I hear a little delay. You must be very far away.
Oh,
is it annoying or is it okay?
I'm not hearing it. It's just that you're.
Oh, you're not hearing it. Okay, good. Well, then it's not going to annoy me that much. So it's a combination. This is what I would offer to you, okay? Because this is what I did, and I've had good results. It's a combination of taking care of yourself. So figuring out a way that you can meditate that is not worsening the pain, while putting attention on what is causing that pain. And in that process, you can be doing actually a very deep awareness practice, even though somebody watching you would say, well, but she's actually not meditating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
There's somebody inside my head saying that.
Saying?
She's not meditating.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But if you are paying that kind of attention, you are meditating. So you know, you can be doing the, all right, how long can I sit before it starts? And if I relax that part of my body, and if I turn it just slightly, and is it, what happens with my other shoulder? Okay, and so you're just watching microscopically everything that's happening with you.
Mm-hmm.
It counts as meditation.
That, I mean, I had started experimenting with, well, sitting in a chair seems to be a bit better, and just for 10 minutes, and it was so interesting. Somebody suggested to me I try just 10 minutes, and you know, I had this voice going, no, I don't want to only sit for 10 minutes. You know, condition my, you know, it's just that, it's crazy.
Yeah,
it's
of course.
Like,
of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't want you to sit in the first place. But if you're not going to sit, then it's going to make not sitting the biggest issue of your life.
No. Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So
well,
I think, again, I just applaud your spirit, and the will, the curiosity and the willingness to be with it and find out. I had this little fantasy, Barbara, that one of the ways that you could practice or try sitting is sitting up and then resting your forehead against something.
Yes, that would help. Yeah. That would help.
You know, anything, anything.
Yeah.
It's not a contest, is it?
Kind of like any kind of strain that, and those neck muscles, you know, just go, something happens and then it's gone. And then, you know, I can be in that kind of pain for the next 24 hours from, you know, once it gets triggered.
Yes.
So thanks so much, Sherry. It's kind of amazing that you've kind of had that similar experience. It's really helpful.
I know it's really scary that to do something that is going to throw you into pain for the next 24 hours. And if we don't go up against it, then our lives, as you know, will just get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller.
I can feel that. I can feel, because it's, you know, all sorts of things. Sometimes it gets triggered by God knows what. You know, I'm not sitting, and I can feel that part of me that's just starting to get scared to do anything, because it's like that might, that's going to trigger it. So I've just got to get, so I don't do anything, and that's not the way to go. So,
right. Yeah. Because part of it, I think, is that it does come from the fear. It's the stress of, oh my God, what's going to happen? And I tense up and tighten up against that, and then the tensing and tightening exacerbates the situation, and there I am.
Yeah. Okay, I'll experiment, look around my flat and see if I can find a way to sit with my forehead supported. That would make a difference.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, with this attitude that you're bringing to it, life is going to drop in helpful solutions. Good ideas.
Yeah. I'm having an MRI tomorrow. I just, in the process, you know, of just investigating, ruling out, I don't really think it's going to show anything up, but it's like ticking off all the different areas, you know.
Yeah, and that's how we want to approach all of life. Huh. Well, what's this? What about that? Well, if I try that, what'll happen if I...
Yeah.
All right, well, let me know,
Yeah, thanks so much. Really helpful.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Talk to you soon.
I have aspirations to make it one day to the monastery. I'll just say that.
Okay. I'm going to put some energy into that myself.
Okay. Great.
All right.
Thank you.
Take good care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Barbara. A lot of courage out there in that sangha, Sherry. It's wonderful.
Oh, I'm telling you. Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun? She'll make it.
She'll make it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel her here now.
Yeah.
It's great.
I know. No.
Yes.
Lovely. Yeah.
And we have time for at least one more caller here, Sherry.
Okay, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, wow. Hey, Michael. Hey, Sherry. It's Bridget from Virginia.
Well, hello, Bridget.
Hi.
How are you?
What's going on?
Not much. I was surprised. I got onto the call late and figured I would put myself in the queue, but really didn't hold out much hope that I would get on. So that's pretty exciting.
See there? We never know, do we?
That's exactly right. Well, what's kind of exciting is usually when I call in, I have something in mind that I really want to talk about, and I didn't because I really wasn't expecting to you know, be able to get on and talk with you guys. So I guess as I was listening and what dropped in for me just now was that so things for me right now are going really well, and don't really, I guess, when I think about it, have anything that, you know, is bothersome or, you know, to focus negative attention on. But what I notice is that in all of that, like, I've sort of started feeling a little bit, I guess, lost is the only word that I really have to label it with, in just sort of like wondering, okay, so am I doing everything I'm supposed to? Am I, have I reached where I thought I should be at this point in my life? I guess those sorts of questions, and kind of trying to search for, I don't even really know what.
So this questioning has been brought on by a sense of well-being.
Yes, and actually things going well.
Uh-huh. So if things were not going well, we suspect that you wouldn't be asking these questions because you would be engaged in, oh, my God, what am I going to do about, or I can't believe this, or why have you, what's it? Yeah? With the
yeah.
kind of negativity of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. But
right. yeah.
now things are going really well, and it's got nothing to do.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so it's almost, yeah, that's a great point. It's creating this sort of, well, you know, it's creating a problem.
That's right. How about this is a problem, right? Okay, well, let's compare where you should be with where you are, or are you sure that you're, yeah? And so as it throws out those little hooks, you know, it's hoping that sooner or later you're going to bite, and then you'll have a problem, and then you'll be up in conditioned mind noodling around about that, and pretty soon you'll be unhappy and miserable and suffering, and then life will be back to normal.
Yeah, that's, yes, because what's happened is, so this has sort of been going on for a couple months, and what's happened is in and out have come not actual problems that I would say, but things like, well, you know, you all of your friends, everyone has kids. You don't have any kids, and you probably should. And so then there's like a focus on that for a while, and then because I usually sit every morning when I first get up, and have started to, when I had those thoughts, just literally do something, anything, whether it was go for a walk, read a book, listen to music, just something that I wasn't thinking about that actually. And eventually then it goes away because what I guess where I end up finding myself with that particular sort of question is, well, I don't know, and I don't know if I ever will have kids or not, but right now I don't, and actually everything's still okay.
Uh-huh. And so was the doing something to distract yourself from the conversation in your head?
Yes. I guess, I would probably say yes.
Uh-huh. And do you have a recording and listening practice?
I do.
Okay. Because that might be a good thing to do to sort of confront it directly rather than to try to get away from it. Because trying to get away from conditioned mind is like giving it candy.
Right.
Right? Yeah. So if you were to sit down and say, well, you know, I can see that the voices in conditioned mind are trying to create a problem here with this having children business, but the reality is I'm not having children right now. And so there's really no reason to be thinking about having children since I'm not having children right now. If it ever occurs to me that I really want to have children and that seems to be the thing for me to do, that'll be plenty of time for me to address this issue. But right now, and then you talk about what's going on in your life right now. Right now I'm enjoying my life as it is. I'm enjoying this and this and this. I do this and this and I like that and I really appreciate that. And things are going really well and I'm grateful for that.
Ah, right.
You bring the energy back to you and to well-being.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And what I'm thinking is, of course, that's what I should do.
Yes. Well, that's what you can do.
Right. Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. That's what I can do.
Yeah, because if it becomes a should, then that's another little back door that those voices can sneak into.
Yes.
So if you decide that you want to listen to music, it's going to say, well, but what you should be doing is...
this, yes, right.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. That is so helpful and not something, for whatever reason, that I had even thought of.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't. We don't. That's why we do this together, because one person will think of something that, or point out something or say something, and all of a sudden we go, oh, right. Yes, that's for me too.
Yeah.
So that's the blessings of Sangha.
That's exactly right. And just a plug on that note is that to get in extra steps and exercise, I've started walking at lunch most days at work. And so I listen to old radio shows, or the most recent one that I've missed. And something that has become so obvious to me as I listen and walk is that the past few times there have been conversations around certain content. And while the content doesn't apply to me, the process is so obviously the same for me as the person talking, even though the content's different. And that's been really powerful for me.
Isn't that the best?
Yes.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah. It's like magic. You know, I'll often encourage people who are having trouble. I was just talking with a woman that somebody said, will you talk to this woman, because I just talked to her and she's scaring me with what a dark place she's in. And and so we were talking and I was saying, I was giving her these options and they were just all things to listen to that would alter the process that she was in exactly that way. And it is magic. So you can be listening to a bunch of people you don't know talk about a bunch of stuff that has nothing to do with your life, and by the end of listening to that, all those people talk about that, you're in a completely different place. You're back at
a completely different place and feeling like everyone else is in the exact same place that you are.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I just gave her this whole list of things that are really kind of unrelated or seem unrelated. It's like, why would I want to listen to that? Because they are all process conversations. And process, focusing on process, brings us back to center, which is why conditioning is constantly working to get people focused on content.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
It's fun to know,
well,
isn't it?
It is. It's so fun to know, and it's fun to see, and it's fun to share, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you so much.
Well, you are so welcome. I'm glad you got in the queue, and I'm glad you stayed with it and all like that there.
Yes, me too. It's absolutely right. And I'm very glad I did. I'm glad I got to say hello and talk with you and Michael.
It's been a pleasure. Let's
Thank
do it
you
again.
So much. Sounds like a plan. All right. Have a great
Thank you.
Night.
Thank you. You too.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Bridget. And Sherry, I do the exact same thing at lunchtime. I listen to old open air archives and I walk around and it's fabulous.
Oh yeah. Even you do. And it's not like you weren't here. Right.
Not like what?
To prove that you weren't here. So proving that, you know, even if it's something that you have heard before, it'll still do the same magic transporting us out of conditioned mind and into this here now. That's great.
Yes.
That's a great commercial for it.
Yes. And Sherry, you know, there are many, many years now of archives. So,
yeah.
You know,
I think, are we up to like 13 or something?
Something crazy like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we were so young and cute then, remember?
Yeah, we still have that old photo for the podcast.
I know.
Timeless.
Oh, and priceless. Thank you, Michael. Yes. Let's us do it again too, shall we? Maybe next week.
Okay, great. Perfect.
All right.
You then.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.